I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, a veritable blockbuster of a competition involving writers, poets, and softball. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our discussion of the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Writers and poets busting blocks?
You can't. Just stay tuned, okay. My friend. Mike Shanahan, who coaches the NFL team in Washington, D.C., announced this week that his quarterback, Robert Griffin III, who had knee surgery back in January, will not participate in preseason games. Gosh! Can he be ready for the regular season if he doesn't play in games that don't count?
He's already ready for the regular season, which is why he's not playing in the games that don't count. Mike Shanahan should count his blessings, because it's probably Mike Shanahan's fault that we're having this controversy at all.
Yes, he left him in a game.
He left him in a game when he shouldn't have, yes.
On Wednesday, while former New England tight end Aaron Hernandez, accused of shooting a man to death in June, appeared in court, Patriots coach Bill Belichick broke his silence about the case during the press conference at Gillette Stadium. You asked Belichick if NFL coaches and executives discuss the issue of players and guns. Let's listen to his response.
League security, we have league security meetings every year with the NFL, and I'd say that that topic has been addressed as long as I've been in the league, which would be 1975.
Were you surprised by that answer?
Yes, I was. I was struck by the fact, because it certainly didn't make the national consciousness back in the 1970s. But I have to believe that it's with Plaxico Burress and everything else, it has to be a more serious concern for the league than it was then.
Meanwhile, the University of Florida is trying to erase Hernandez's presence there, removing a brick that honors his status as an All-American. Do you think they should rename the Gator Walk as the Walk of the Gators who have not been accused of murder?
At the very least, given a really good reason, Americans can be very good Stalinists, because we're in the middle of disappearing Aaron Hernandez. Like, he never played football. He's not going to be in the Madden NFL 25 or the NCAA Football 14 video games. The trading card company is dropping him. The Pro Football Hall of Fame has taken down a picture of him that won an award. He is going to be a non-person, and probably deservedly so.
The Chicago Cubs have traded Alfonso Soriano to the Yankees. I know the Cubs are supposed to be everybody's lovable losers. That's been the case for many years. But is there anything really left to love about the Cubs?
Well, you know what? They always say that watching the Cubs is really about the Wrigley Field experience. And that's a good thing, because there's nobody worth watching on the field anymore for the Chicago Cubs. And as it turns out, the Wrigley experience is changing pretty harshly, too.
Yeah, the Wrigley is to get a $500 million upgrade. And I'm curious, what does a ballpark get to add for $500 million?
Well, it gets a big, ugly rooftop watching, blocking Jumbotron scoreboard. A 5,700 square foot video scoreboard in left field. And they're also going to build a big hotel across the street, which means that the Wrigley experience is now being completely commodified.
In more venue news, Detroit is bankrupt officially, but that's not to say there's no good news out of that city, at least for Detroit Red Wings owner Mike Ilitch, right?
Yeah, because Rick Snyder, who is informing us that city workers who make $15,000 a year in their pension are the reason that Detroit is bankrupt, is going to give Mike Ilitch $284 million in tax dollars to build a new arena, and this just makes me vomit. I'm sorry, Bill. The studio is going to be a mess for a while.
Well, let me see if I can cheer you up by asking you to put on your Mr. NASCAR hat, which I see you have brought with you, because it's time for you to opine regarding NASCAR's new television contract.
Yeah, they will be on NBC for the next 10 years. ESPN will be out of the NASCAR Derby. Fox Sports will still get Daytona and 12 other Sprint Cup races. So basically, the NASCAR is trading ESPN for NBC, and NBC gets a prime property.
Charlie, former boxer Emil Griffith died on Tuesday. He was 75 years old. People who remember him will recall that Benny Perrette died 10 days after Griffith knocked him out back in 1962. But it's fair to say Griffith is memorable for various other reasons as well, don't you think?
Yeah, he was one of the few openly gay, although not publicly gay, athletes of his time, certainly among boxers. In fact, that was said to be at the root of the vicious beating he gave to Benny Perrette. Benny Perrette allegedly called his sexuality into question, and Perrette wound up dying. People who knew him said he was a terrific gentleman, and I just think he was very brave and carried, you know, an insupportable weight around since 1962.
Charlie, this is the time when I would normally tell people that they can find your sports writing at Grantland, among other places, and that you join me each week here at Only a Game. But since this is our 20th anniversary show, instead, I'm going to welcome to the show our co-creator and original senior producer, David Green.
Who?
He's joining me.
Who?
You remember, David.
I don't remember a thing.
He's joining us from the palatial offices of Car Talk Central. Hi, David.
Hey, guys, I'm going to do you and the audience a favor and not sing Happy Birthday, but
thank you.
I'm thinking it, okay?
Thank you very much. What made you think, way back in 1993, that the world was ready for a public radio sports show?
Well, we had been working together for a number of years, Bill. I don't know, what was it at that point? 20, 30 years? You've been doing commentaries and such.
Something like that.
Back on the Crystal set.
And it seemed like, you know, you were really good in 2.5, 3-minute doses, and that maybe we could stretch you out a little bit see if we could make you talk for a half hour nonstop and, you know, still have it be interesting.
Charlie, your first appearance on the show was January 1, 1994. Do you remember what you thought when the phone rang and it was David asking you to join a public radio sports show?
Well, I remember that, first of all, I wasn't going to be on every week because we were only half an hour, as I recall at the time. I was going to be on every other week. And then we went to an hour and we started doing these weekly things. And I thought it sounded like a great idea. I was, you know, I failed several auditions for the conventional sports radio talk show host in the Boston market, so this was really sort of my last chance.
And David, do you remember what gave you the harebrained idea that Charlie and I should speak together each week?
Well, I think it was hearing Charlie fail at one of these other sports radio shows, but hearing just the level of energy that he brought to it just seemed like it would be a really good, I guess, counterpoint
to my
lack of energy.
very kind of calm person. I thought, you know, that bringing Charlie in would just kind of be sort of like shooting a little adrenaline into the heart in the middle of Pulp Fiction, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
So without me, the show is dying of an overdose.
You're being very kind because I've listened to some of those early shows and they're very slow.
We'll never, ever, ever listen to early shows. Never, ever.
All right. Speaking of earlier shows, David, which was scarier for you, the first full hour show or the first time only a game went national?
Actually, the answer to that is the second show that we did, because we did the first show, and I remember listening to it and feeling this great sense of exultation and really happy we got this show on the air. And the second that it ended, I was suddenly realized that we had to come in and do it again the following week. and we couldn't put on a best of only a game yet. So.
I find the most intriguing thing about having been part of the show are the 9 different offices we've had.
Mm-hmm.
I've come in many times and discovered that only a game is not where I put it down.
Charlie Fierce is the first, the best, and the only weekly analyst through Only a Game's 20 years. Charlie, thanks for the ride.
Thanks, Bill. You too.
And David Green is the program's co-creator and the original senior producer. David, thank you for getting this thing started.
Bill, I do want to wish you a happy anniversary and congratulate you. But I would like to also ask your audience to stand up for a moment and give a really good round of applause to your senior producer, Gary Wallach, who's been with the show since day one and has really done a remarkable job of keeping it moving forward while always remaining true to itself.
Well said, David. Thank you for mentioning it. It's absolutely true.